Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
The love of God is the agape love. So you can't have this fruit, patience, peace, kindness, joy, gentleness, long-suffering, self-control. Those only come out of the agape love of God. Remember, there's five loves in the Bible. There's storge love, that's family love. There's filio love, that's brotherly love. There's eros love, the sexual relationship between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, husband and a wife, a husband and a wife. And then there's thermos, which is compassion love. And it's where we get the word thermos, which keeps things warm or cold. But here's the thing. Those four loves are all based on emotions. And those four loves won't hold your marriage or your relationships together. Only the agape love will hold that love, that family together, and to do God's will. And that agape love goes back to the garden, which Adam and Eve had with God and each other before they sinned and fell from grace. You see that? And so that's what God's plan is to get us back to the garden, back to the agape love of God. That's the call of God on our life, is to get us back to the original. And that's what the agape love does. When we're operating in the agape love, we have joy, we have kindness, we have peace, and it really begins to affect your life, and it's fulfillment. There's fulfillment in doing the will of God. You see that? Fulfillment comes when you do the will of God. You can be fulfilled in a hut in Haiti with the roof leaking. You see that? When you're doing the will of God, you can be fulfilled. See, fulfillment is divine compensation. Divine compensation. When you're connected with God, He's going to make sure you're fulfilled. See, because only He can fill what you're looking for, trying to fulfill you. Only He can fulfill it. And when He fills it, you're fulfilled and you're satisfied. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. You see, when you're fulfilled, it's because you're connected to the will of God, and the will of God is coming out of you. You get into God's will, you're going to be fulfilled. Get a hold of this. We're talking today about kindness again. Ryan shared last week about kindness and did a great job. We're going to stay on this kindness. So let's go to our scripture. Well, first our vision, and then we're going to look at our scripture. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. So there's no law. There's nothing against this fruit. Because when this fruit is in action, it's the supernatural power of God. Nothing can stop it. So when you're tapped into that, you're tapped into something. Miracles. It changes things, changes environment. It changes things when you're tapped in to this fruit. Is this making sense? And it's in you. If you're a born-again believer, if the Holy Spirit is in you, it comes out of the Holy Spirit. It says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 5. It's being shed abroad in our hearts. As we grow in our relationship with God, the love is growing and it's producing fruit. So kindness is not how you feel towards somebody. Kindness is God's love demonstrated towards someone. It's not a feeling, it's action. When you're kind, you're doing something that God is pleased with. Get a hold of this. I got this week with my mind working. Gary Chapman wrote a book, Five Love Languages. It's a great book. It's how to communicate love without saying it verbally. And in that, it's like gift giving, you give gifts. Maybe your spouse, it communicates love when you give gifts. Or maybe you, when you encourage them, that makes them feel loved. Or acts of service, it makes them feel loved. Or touch. Touch is one. That's one of mine. Touch. I just like it when Donita touches me, you know, not in a sexual way, but just touches me. I don't know. She'll put her hand on my knee, you know, while I'm driving. It's like it makes me feel loved. Does that make sense? And without saying it, God's love language, you know what it is? Kindness. When you serve other people that don't deserve it. Only God's kindness when they don't deserve it. If they're kind to you and you're kind back, that's not God's kindness. God's kindness is when you are kind and they don't deserve it. You keep being kind. You keep showing them Christ. That's God's kindness. And God is pleased with that. And he gets involved in your life when you do that. He brings power into your life. Are we making sense? All right. Kindness is a powerful, powerful thing. Now catch this. Our human nature, we're short-tempered. You know, in this counterculture we live in, kindness is counterculture. It's just like the opposite of what our culture does, right? So, short-tempered, intolerant. Agape love is slow to anger. You see that? And that's the way we want to operate in the agape love of God. The agape love doesn't know how to quit. It stays committed. It hangs in there and it never quits. It never gives up. Agape love is relentless. Get a hold of this. It brings miracles in your life. It transforms and changes lives when you express agape love. See, that boss you have at work that might be getting on your last one, and that person that you work with or at school, that, you know, that here's the thing. The one that gets on your nerves the most, that's the one God is saying, I want you to show some kindness to. You see, well, you say, well, they don't want my Christianity at where I work. They don't want the gospel where I work. Okay. Maybe they don't want it. Maybe you're not there to give it to them. Maybe they're there to change you. Maybe those difficult people are there in your life to change you. Maybe they're in your family. You see this? Maybe they're there. They're there to change you and to develop his kindness in you, to get the supernatural power of God working in your life. Are we making sense? Now look at this. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. And this is the Greek word. It's the word krestades. Krestades. This is what it means. Kindness, it means to be adaptable or compliant to the needs of others. When kindness is working in your life, you don't demand that others be like you. Instead, kindness makes you want to bend over backwards to become what others need you to be for them. Did you catch that? Kindness says, I'm going to bend over backwards to become what you need. I'm gonna bend over backwards to help you on the job, to help you in my family, to help you to become what you need. That's what kindness is. Don't we need some more of that around here? To become what others need. So kindness portrays a willingness to serve and to change in order to meet the needs of others. This is the antithesis of selfishness and self-centeredness. Love doesn't demand others to be like itself. Rather, it is so focused on the needs of others that it bends over backwards to become what others need it to be. We must look into the mirror and ask ourselves, do I become what others need me to be? Or do I demand that others be like me? Did you catch that? Real agape love doesn't think of itself first. Instead, it always is reaching out and thinking and focusing primarily on the needs of others. It adapts to those around them in order to touch them, help them, influence them, and impact them for the kingdom of God. Are you hearing this? Go with me to Colossians 3:12. Some of you spend too much time in front of the mirror on how you look, and we need to spend more time in front of God with our attitude and what we really have on, so we can better represent him in the time and hour that we live in. God's looking for us to be his best when the world is at its worst. Can it get any worse? God is looking for you to be his best. And kindness is that expression. Now think about this. Therefore, as the elect of God, we've been teaching this on Wednesday nights. This was established before you were even born. Before you were born, God formed you. He formed you. He knew you. He sanctified you, and he ordained you a prophet before you were even born. And see, a lot of people walking around don't even understand that. But when you start to understand that, it's like, dude, this is why I'm here. This all starts to make sense. You're God's elect. You don't even have to have a campaign. You don't even have to be politically correct. Oh, that's pretty good right there. You're God's elect. Now watch this. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Put that on before you go out the door. You'll be looking good. Yeah. Am I making sense? Kindness is a big deal in the culture we live in because there's not much of it. We should be the kindest people on the planet. You know, when I moved into our house, when we moved into our house, I met my neighbors. I met them, and I went across the street and met them. I said, if there's anything we can do to help you in any way, just give me a call. I said, I want to help you if I can. Please call me, you know. I told them, you know, I was a local pastor in the area and blah, blah, blah. And then I find myself, you know, I'm in my car and I got my garage door open, go in. Man, you can just ignore your neighbors. Just come home and just get in the garage and close the door and never even meet anybody or see anybody. I caught myself kind of doing that. I thought, you know what? I got to get out here and look, go out to the street, get the mail and look what's going on, you know? And so, you know, Donita makes stuff sometimes and there's a little lady across the street. She'll send stuff over there and she'll always say, you take it over there and I'll take it over. But we're just trying to be kind and be neighborly. We got another other neighbors on the side of us. We help them with ladders and doing things. And just they watch our house when we leave. And, you know, you know what I'm saying? We should be the kindest. We should be the kindest people in this church. People ought to come to this church and say, those people are just kind. People are attracted to kindness. We should be the kindest. You should be the kindest husband. You should be the kindest wife. You see that? Are you catching this? We should be the kindest. When people look at me in my casket, I don't want them to say, oh, he was a preacher. I want them to say, he was a kind man. Are you catching this? I want to be kind. If I'm kind, I'm doing the will of God. Is this making sense? In 1 Corinthians 16:14, you don't have to put that up, Tim. It says, let all that you do be done in love, the agape love. Everything we do should be done in the agape love. Everything. How many things? Everything. Now watch this. Kindness is love in action. Kindness is love in action. Kindness is not how you feel towards someone. It's what you do towards someone. I already said that. It is an activity and an event. Kindness is love in action. Now go with me to Luke 10:25. This is the story of the Good Samaritan. This is a powerful story. And there's three people that Jesus uses as an example. He uses a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan in this story. And it's really powerful. See, the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. They didn't just dislike each other. They hated each other. It was like racism. See, racism is hatred. Racism is just straight from the devil. Straight from the devil. Who's anybody to think they're better than anybody? Racism is of the devil. This is what's going on between the Jews and the Samaritans. The Jews said Samaritans are nothing more than dogs. If you're a Samaritan, it's like being a dog. That was common language back then. Now, you know the hero of the story? A Samaritan. Don't you like Jesus? Jesus, he uses the one that nobody would think. That's the hero. Oh, don't you like you some Jesus? God chooses the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise, and the weak things of this world to put to shame the things that are mighty, and the base things of this world to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You see that? I like that. The Samaritan's the hero. So now think about this. And Jesus is not politically correct. He's not concerned about all that. Now, let's read the story. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Now, this is Jesus telling us this is what it is. This is how you're going to have eternal life. On those two hang everything. When you're doing those two, you are fulfilling God's will. You see that? Now, give me the next one. And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, he was a lawyer, said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Who's my neighbor? You know, he's saying, I don't want to love everybody. Everybody? Who's my neighbor? You mean everybody? Everybody. Now watch. Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." Half dead and naked on the road. Now watch. Next one. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now, here's my point. Here's the first attitude you don't want to have. The attitude of avoidance. You don't want to have an attitude of avoidance. Now, here's this man laying half dead, naked, on the other side of the road. Priest. Now, priest is supposed to help people. He, looking at him, walks by. Nothing. See that? That's an attitude of avoidance. Listen to me. If I don't pay attention, then it's not my responsibility. See that? Instead of helping him and cross over to the other side of the road, I'm just going to avoid it. Now, you know, there's three people he's using here. And you know, don't think, well, I'm not him, but I'm the good Samaritan. No, you're this guy sometimes too. We all avoid things at times, helping people. I'm just going to avoid it. I'm going to keep my distance. Don't get too close. Don't get too close to him, because if you get close to him, you may have to help him. There it is. Don't get too close to people, so then you have to help them when they are in pain. See, a lot of times people that have their own pain and never dealt with their own pain don't want to get close to others who have pain because they're too consumed with their own pain. You catching this? And so you only want relationships that are surface, superficial, not supernatural. See, supernatural goes below the surface and gets to know people and understands people. Superficial, they don't ever want to hear much. They just want to talk about the weather and what you're wearing and what you're eating and just, oh, that's it. You start talking below the surface. Oh, well, what time? I got to get out of here. I've been a pastor for 30 years. I understand how this works. Am I making sense? Out of sight, out of mind. So we don't want to have an attitude of avoidance. What's the next one? Apathetic. We don't want to become apathetic. An attitude that's apathetic. Okay? Curious but apathetic. Now that's the Levite. Let's look at him. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. You look here what the Levite does. He walks over. He looks down. Okay. And just keeps going. He looks at him, studies him. That's what the word look means, to study and evaluate. He was evaluating him, looking at him. Keeps going. Donita was teaching this in the children a couple weeks ago. And is Steve here? There he is. She was teaching this a couple weeks ago in the children's ministry. And she said, you know, she talked about the priest. And she, and because the word Levite means one who keeps the temple. You know, he takes care of the temple, takes care of everything, logistics and all that. Well, Donita says, this would be like Pastor Steve. She's telling all the kids that. This would be like Pastor Steve. He takes care, keeps everything, and all the, and he's, and they said, no, Miss Donita, that's not, Pastor Steve would never do that. He would never pass by a man on the road. No, they all got mad and started saying, Pastor Steve would never do that. She says, I'm just using it as an example. She said, though, well, he would never do that. He feeds us on Wednesday nights. I thought that was pretty cute. Those kids are learning, aren't they? But now think about this. The Levite was there in the temple every day, and he was religious. But that doesn't make you kind. Just get Pastor Steve out of your head. Pastor Steve's kind. He's one of the kindest people I know. I'm just telling you. He's put up with me for 20 years. He's got to have something going on. But now think about this. It doesn't make you kind when you're religious. It says in Proverbs 11:17 in the New Living Bible, your own soul is nourished when you are kind. It is destroyed when you are cruel. That's powerful. It's true. When you express kindness, there's something in your soul that's like, whoa, man, this makes me feel good. Are you catching this? You know why? Because you are expressing Christ in a very unselfish way to someone who needs it. It helps your soul. When you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light will dawn in the darkness. Your darkness will be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually. He will satisfy your soul when the drought comes. You will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters never fail. That's what happens when you're kind. Are you with me? Don't you want a little bit of that? Don't we need that? Now watch this. We're supposed to be kind to everyone. The Levite looked at him. How many times have we driven by somebody who's broken down on the side of the road? We stare at them. But you see, kindness will stop and get involved. We're supposed to be kind to everybody. We're supposed to treat everybody with dignity and respect. Don't get on the internet and start dogging other people and call yourself a Christian. If you're going to do that, stop calling yourself a Christian. Because you see, Christianity and that doesn't mix. That's not Christ. The word Christian means Christ-like. Christ would never get online and dog people. So, are you hearing me? If you're a Christian, don't get online and dog people and other people's business and make them look bad. When you do that, you're not doing God's work. You're doing the devil's work. Every time you do that, stop it. Or stop calling yourself a Christian. Because you make us all look bad. Still glad you came to church today? Get a hold of this. Let's look at, that was the Levite. Now we're going to look at the Samaritan. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. You see, the word saw. Vision. When you have God's vision, you know what it produces? Compassion and kindness for others. When you have God's vision, that's what the Samaritan had. He had God's vision, and it produced compassion for other people. You see that? It's the truth. When you have God's vision, it does. It produces compassion for others. Now pay attention, because I'm going to get on a roll here. Let's go to the next one real quick. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. When you or kind. It takes, you know what it takes? It takes sacrifice. Look how he sacrificed. He had vision and he sacrificed. It's going to cost you to be kind sometimes. It's going to cost you. You're going to have to invest. Look what happened. He bandages. You know what? He ripped up his clothes and probably helped him with his. He didn't have a first aid kit. You know, you see that? He put him on his own donkey, his own animal, and walked alongside him while he was on and paid his bill to get into the hotel. Now look, on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. You see that? It's going to cost you to be kind in the day we're living in. It's going to cost you. If it don't cost you, it's probably not God's kindness. Huh? Don't we need this? Now look at this. Give me the next one. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? All right? Give me the next one. And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. A lot of translations use the word kindness for mercy. They're synonymous. Mercy and God's kindness are synonymous. So he who showed mercy or kindness on him. You see this? Are you hearing this? Saul means vision. Now, so what was the first attitude you're not supposed to have? Avoidance. You don't want to have an attitude of avoidance. What was the second one? Apathy. You don't want to be apathetic. You don't want to be curious and apathetic. Here's the third one. You don't want to be cynical. Now you got to pay attention. Remember, if you don't pay attention, it's going to cost you. We're out to do the will of God, right? Now catch this. This word cynical, it means a cynical attitude. Why aren't we supposed to? Because cynicism blinds you. You can't have God's vision and be cynical at the same time. That's an oxymoron. You can't be a Christian and be cynical. That's an oxymoron. Listen, the word cynical means a cynical attitude. It means scornful of the motives or virtue of others. It means bitterly mocking or sneering others. Cynical. A person who believes all men are motivated by selfishness. Cynical. Cynicism infects your sight. You can't see the way God has created you to see when you're cynic. Now, the cynicism in us would only allow us to see interference, adversity, and disruption. Did you catch that? Listen to me. When all you can see is interference, disruption, and adversity, it's because you're blind. Listen to me. Whenever anything interferes in your life, God has allowed it. He's allowed it to develop something in you. He's trying to develop his kindness in you. Are you catching this? And his agape love in you. God's trying to develop something in you. And when you become cynical, you miss out on what God is trying to develop, and you'll stay right there. Because cynicism affects your sight, it won't let you get past the inconvenience. Cynics don't walk by faith. Where there's no vision, the people perish.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind. live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.